Pastor Michael, we've been in a season on all things related to the spiritual realm. So today's question is, why aren't more non-Christians possessed by demons if they are under Satan's rule?
Yeah, that's a tremendous question. So the Bible teaches that if you're not a Christian, you are living under the domain of darkness, under the prince of the power of the air. You're kind of in Satan's jurisdiction. And when you trust in Christ, you're transferred out of that into the kingdom of Jesus, the text says, of his beloved son. So you would think that if you are under the domain of darkness, that the evil one could be able to do with you whatever he wants to do. So I've learned quite a bit on this. And what I would tend to agree with, there's a whole, we'll just say, developed theological system of demonology and exorcisms that came out of the Roman Catholic Church. Yeah. And all of this kind of, ideas, they go back like 1800 years. Okay. So the Protestants didn't quite leave until, you know, the 16th century. So we have about, you know, 1300 years of shared, we'll say, theology, experience, and practice. So when you kind of go back over historic understandings of demonology, I tend to agree with kind of the Roman Catholic view that in order for possession to actually happen, what is required is that authority needs to be given to a demon in order for them to take over your body. So the idea is this. We've talked about in previous episodes that the spirit realm works on authority.
Yeah.
And so you have authority over your body and your soul. There are things that they can do to you, but when it comes to actually taking control over you, you have jurisdiction there, and so do I. And so what's interesting is that part of this kind of, it's really experiential theology, if you will. Like, it's what we have observed over the last 1800 years, watching, like, why do some kids experience demonic possession and others don't? What's interesting about children is that whose authority are they under? Mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody might be listening to this and think to themselves, well, what mom and dad would ever give their child over to Satan? Well, lots. Mm-hmm. And so if, I mean, just go back in history, people would literally burn their firstborn children to Chemosh or Molech on these brazen altars. Parents do despicable things for their children in order to get ahead all throughout history, and that hasn't stopped. So it's striking is that when some of these circumstances with kids happen, you dig deeper into it, and what you find is that they have often been offered as a sacrifice to demonic entities. So the idea here is that, well, why aren't more non-Christians possessed? Because most non-Christians are not having an interaction with a demonic entity where they are willingly giving them permission to enter into their soul and to take possession of their body.
Okay. Yeah.
So, which is sort of a relief, because if you're like, if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you, and somehow you have this anxiety, like, what if I go to bed and it possesses me? It seems that in the spiritual realm, not only are the major weapons authority, like whoever has greater authority, like has control over lower authority spiritual entities, but it also seems that authority is the mechanism by which possession happens. So what some people don't quite understand is, like, for example, if you start doing some heavy drugs, sometimes people under the influence of different drugs invite demons into their bodies. And so
because they're not in control anymore.
Well, because they're not in control. But here's the deal. It would seem that if you're going to choose to put yourself under the influence and you do dumb things, you are still responsible for the dumb things you do under the influence, you know? So there seems to be this thing where drugs reduce people's, I'll just say, wisdom, their ability, their self-control, their restraints, their inhibitions, all that. So they do things in a state of drug stupor or alcohol stupor that they maybe wouldn't do otherwise. And so at the end of the day, I would tell somebody who's concerned about it, don't invite demonic entities into your body. You have authority, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, over yourself, right? And if you're a mom and dad, this is super important. I want you to remember, you have authority over your children. And there's this notion, my kids are 18, I have no authority over them. Not true. I don't know that I could make a biblical case for when a parental authority ends, but it's an interesting question to think about. But there, 18 is an arbitrary American distinction. It might be younger, it might be older, I don't know, but we always take seriously the authority, the spiritual authority that we have over our children when they're in our home and otherwise. So it's just, I think, a really important thing to consider. But remember, the spiritual currency of the of the spiritual realm is authority.
Yeah.
So if you have authority over you, it's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give it away.
I think that's really helpful as someone who works with teenagers and youth and students to understand also the perspective of parents and their responsibility for authority over their children and how that relates to this question and this topic as well. So I appreciated that personally, selfishly from my own ministry and perspective.
Yeah.
So
let me add just for fun, one more thing into this. You may have heard the term like gateways. You have gateway drugs, whatever. Basically, it's you do these things and they're sort of, they open up access, right? So we've talked about drugs, et cetera. One of the most consistent gateways is occult practices. So typically there are some degrees of occult practices that when you open the gate, right, you are, they're gateway practices, essentially that you are agreeing to participation. I can't see the spirit realm, and the scriptures are super clear about what to avoid, no doubt. And they're super clear not to engage with demonic entities. Got it. They're super clear that you have authority and over your body and over them if you're in Christ. And you got it. What I don't understand is to what degree of possession could happen. But what we do know is that once you start participating in occult practices, part and parcel, just integrated into the fabric of the practice, are invitations for them to influence you. So like you might be sitting with somebody and you and they might ask you to, like, you know, invite the spirit to communicate with you. Well, guess what that is? You've now just invited a spirit in. Now here's the deal. You invite somebody into your home, okay? You can't control what they're going to do when they get into your home.
Yeah.
And so don't invite them into your home. Don't invite them into your mind. Don't invite them into your body. Don't invite them into your heart. And you might think to yourself, well, I invited my neighbor over for dinner. I didn't know they're going to blow up my house. I didn't know they're going to trash everything. Right. So, but if you knew that your neighbor did that in every other neighbor's house they went to, well, then you're a fool.
That was their mission, and that's how they operate.
Right. Yeah. And so God's like, listen, I'm telling you their goal, steal, kill, destroy. So if you let them into your mind, or you've let them into your body, even just a little bit, and you're thinking, I didn't invite them into my bedroom. So sorry. Once they get in, right, like silly person, like, you know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So don't even let them get in a little bit. And this is how some of the occult practices allow people in, as they let them in the front door, and then they wreak havoc over the whole house.
Mm.
And so we just say, we don't engage with demonic things. We don't engage with occult things. We don't open the gate just a little bit. We don't do any of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of discernment, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, as to what things are like acceptable and what things are pushing the limit and what things you should just avoid altogether.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we encourage people to be thoughtful and thinking, especially parents with their kids. And I think that's really helpful.
Yeah. And this season, episode 7, we went through a bunch of the practices that we like never, ever, 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 ever touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for the training for that, Pastor Michael.
My joy.